Today we continue our series we've been running since just before Pentecost Sunday called The Power of a Question. And if you've been here before, you'll know that we're looking through the story of Acts of the Apostles and looking at some of the questions that all that happened in that story provoked among the people who saw things happening and heard things happening, but also from the disciples themselves to those who they encountered as well. The church carried forward God's story, and this is the account of it that we have, as they took on the mandate to go and make disciples of all nations, and they took God at his word and the power of his spirit into their lives as well. Now, as Acts unfolds, if you know the story, if you've read the story, you'll see that courage is very much runs as a theme through it all as well. On Pentecost, Peter's standing up, he's preaching a sermon without any fear in order to proclaim Jesus to the nations at that moment. Peter and John, they've prayed for a lame man who was sitting down by the beautiful gate. They prayed for him in the name of Jesus, and he got up and walked. They didn't ask him if he wanted prayer. I'm always intrigued because Jesus always said to someone who came to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" But these disciples just went for it straight away and knew what he wanted and prayed, and the man went leaping and praising God in that place. And even though Peter and John were arrested, you might remember that there's a note in Luke that says that those who had put them on trial were astonished by their courage, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. They didn't ask, "Have you been with Jesus?" They just noticed. They knew that they had been with Jesus. And then if you follow the story in Acts, you'll see that Stephen comes next, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, whose bold witness leads to his death. And it's in that encounter that we first meet Saul, who will become Paul, who approves of the stoning of Stephen, and persecution breaks out against the church. Straight after Stephen is killed, the believers scatter. And although that was devastating for them, it was the way that the gospel of Jesus began to spread. And one of those who were scattered was Philip. And so we're going to pick up the story of Philip today. And perhaps you'll read with me these few verses in Acts chapter 8 and verses 4 to 8. Let's read together. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city. And after all this had begun to happen with Philip, we then read that he encountered Simon the sorcerer. And so he has another encounter to declare God's power and to show God's power in action. And then a little later in Acts chapter 8, as we pick it up this morning, Philip receives a very unexpected instruction from an angel. Let's pick it up in Acts chapter 8, verse 26. There's two slides. If you'd like to read it with me, that would be great. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandake, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. We have a question for today. Now, I imagine that Philip would have rather have stayed in Samaria, don't you? When you read about what was happening in Samaria, why would he want to leave that place? God was moving powerfully and using Philip and the others there to transform lives. But when the Spirit says go, You have to go. And so when he got the instruction from the angel and he felt the Spirit was inviting him, Philip went. Because a life led by the Spirit is a life of obedience. And even when it takes you away from comfort and success or familiarity, when the Spirit says go, you have to go. And the Spirit took Philip south into the desert. From the fruitfulness of Samaria, Philip is asked to go to the barrenness of a desert. But there he meets one person. And he asks what I think is the first recorded question asked by a follower of Jesus in Acts. So far, the crowd have been asking the disciples the question. This time, it's Philip who takes the initiative. Do you understand what you are reading? It's a brilliant question to have in your pocket to ask somebody. Do you understand what you are reading? Because this is not a question about what's the information that you're reading. Philip is asking whether this man can grasp the meaning of what he is reading and allow it not just to fill his mind, but to shape his life from this day forward. Now, the Ethiopian official is an extraordinary figure. He's in charge of the treasury of the Queen of Ethiopia. He's wealthy, he's influential, he's educated enough to possess a scroll of the book of Isaiah. Now, imagine a scroll of the book of Isaiah. I mean, it's quite a long book in our Bibles, but imagine how many scrolls that must have been. Maybe he only had this one section, but that would have been an expensive purchase when he'd been in Jerusalem. He has traveled 1,000 miles to go and worship the God of Israel. And yet, despite all of that, he is searching. Now, a eunuch as well has particular challenges in temple worship as well. If you read the Old Testament, you'll see that a eunuch isn't allowed to go into the inner courts of the temple. They have to stay outside of that. There's exclusion. There's isolation because of what he was. And so, having worshipped where he was able in the temple, he returns home carrying the scroll and carrying the questions that that visit must have provoked in his mind. He has the scriptures in front of him, but he does not yet understand what they mean. Now, I love Philip. He's a runner, isn't he? Imagine the chariot is going full pelt, and Philip has to keep up with the chariot as far as he is able. And so he runs alongside the chariot. And as he's running, I would guess a little bit out of breath, he asks this question, which opens the door to transformation. Now, I can only imagine that as the eunuch is reading this passage on his way back from Jerusalem to Ethiopia, as he reads this passage, it is resonating with his life. He's feeling an ache of being excluded and isolated and lost. And in this passage from Isaiah, he reads about someone who is being excluded and isolated himself. Let me read it to you in verse 32 of chapter 8. This is the passage of scripture he was reading. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. Words from Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8. He's reading. And then he asks Philip three questions. He says to Philip, verse 31, how can I understand this unless someone explains it to me? There's a hunger in him. He wants to find out, because when he reads this passage, there's something going on in him that says, this is an important word that I need to hear. Verse 34, he says to Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? And then in verse 36, he says, what can stand in the way of my being baptized? As you see those questions, you see that something is happening in the life of that man in that moment as he reads this passage and as Philip speaks to him. How? Who? What? And Philip firstly climbs into the chariot and helps him understand who it is. Secondly, he tells him the good news of Jesus. Who is it that this prophet is talking about? And thirdly, he baptizes him right there and then. Now, beneath Philip's question, do you understand, this lies something deeper. He's not merely asking this man about literacy. This man was well educated. He's asking about meaning and truth and transformation. Do you understand the full life-changing implications of what you are reading? And that question applies to us just as much. Whenever we read the Bible, we approach it with an expectation that God is going to speak to us. And when he speaks to us, it's going to do something to us if we're open enough to hear what he has to say. And what a relevant question for today as well. In a culture drowning in information, but starving for meaning and understanding. In a culture where we have more access to more knowledge than any generation before us, and yet people still don't quite know how to live life. Philip speaks directly into our world. Do you understand what you're consuming? Do you understand the story that is shaping your life? Do you understand what God is saying amidst all the competing voices that you're listening to? And Philip isn't sent to a crowd, he's sent to one person. A person traveling on a desert road. A person who is spiritually hungry for more. And when Philip asks this question, the Ethiopian gives one of the most honest answers we can find in Scripture. How can I understand unless someone guides me? Unless someone helps me to understand it? This man has enough humility to admit he needs help. And that humility becomes a doorway to his faith. And it raises a question for us as well. Do we fully understand what we are reading and the implications for our life every single day? Because the Bible is not simply a collection of spiritual advice. It's a story that makes sense of every other story that we hear in our world. It answers the questions that we are asking. It tells us who God is, who we are, what has gone wrong in our world, what God has done through Jesus and where history is heading. It tells us the whole story. And without this story, it's too easy to begin interpreting life through whatever voice is loudest at that particular moment, whether it's a social media feed or a political statement or consumerism or personal preference or whatever's happening around us that week. We live life on that voice. But the written word that the Ethiopian had needs someone to help them find the living word that changes life. Sometimes the dots are not connected in how to build a life until we realize that it's Jesus. I'm sure many of you will have assembled furniture many, many times in your life. Some of you will have read the instructions. Many of you, mainly male, put the instructions to one side and just have a go. Is that fair? Was that stereotyping everybody in the room? But isn't it frustrating when you've just built this beautiful shelf and you look down and there's still four screws on the floor and you've no idea how to put them in? I think sometimes in life, maybe for us sometimes, maybe for the people, there's still a few screws on the floor. I'm not saying you've got a screw loose, of course, but you understand what I'm saying. We're trying to build life without everything that's needed to build it. Lots of people approach life like that. They build careers and relationships and families and identities, only to discover later that something important is missing. And perhaps sometimes you've got to the top of the ladder, but it's only when you get to the top of the ladder you realize you've leant it up against the wrong wall. And the question is whether we understand the story we're living in. And Philip does that so beautifully for us. Who is this about? Well, it's about Jesus, the suffering servant, the rejected one, the wounded one, the humiliated one, the one who bears the sins of the world. This is Jesus. And the Ethiopian eunuch realizes it in that moment and understands that what he needs above all is grace. And that's why I think Philip doesn't begin with a theological debate. I think he just begins with Jesus because that understanding starts right there. And that matters now more than ever. You know, the Bible Society have recently reported that the sales of the Bible reached a record high in the United Kingdom in 2025. It has increased by 134% since 2019. That's the highest since records have begun. And if people are reading the Bible more, who is helping them to understand it, to understand what they're reading? Who is helping them to discover Jesus? Can the story of Jesus still cut through the increasing noise and distraction that shaped much of our modern life? The Ethiopian understood. And when he sees water, he orders the chariot to stop. A moment of decision, a moment of response. I'm going to stop everything else and make this moment the moment to commit my life to Jesus. When understanding becomes action. And some of us may need to stop more than we're doing at the moment. Maybe we need to stop running, to stop the chariot rushing at full pelt. Maybe we need to stop avoiding some of the deeper questions that we need to ask in our lives. And maybe we need to respond to Jesus again. How can I understand? How can I understand and make a response unless someone guides me? Well, I pray that you might find that guidance when you read his word, whether it's through the divine spirit who brings you that, whether it's asking for help, for somebody to ask you to help you find your way to understanding. And maybe you can help somebody else discover the truth of what is in his word. And together we too might rejoice. Because that's where the story ends. Philip gets taken away by the Spirit to another place. The Ethiopian eunuch, it says, goes home rejoicing. Because he's found what that ache was. He's discovered the truth of Jesus. So maybe today you might ask the questions. Do you understand what you're reading? Do you understand the story that your life is built upon? Do you understand the voices that are shaping the story that you're living? Do you understand who Jesus is? So maybe you can encounter Jesus today through his word. Or maybe you need to run alongside someone else who is searching for Jesus. Sorry. Romans chapter 10, Paul says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? May you make that your prayer. Holy Spirit, take me to the person you want me to help understand and get to know Jesus. Because when others encounter the living word of God, through the written word of God, it has the power to transform lives and reshape futures. We're going to share communion together in a moment. And this is something that does help us understand what we're reading. It to touch, to taste, to transform our experience of Jesus again, and to do that together, knowing that we're not on our own. A reminder and an opportunity to give thanks to God as we remember together the story of Jesus, and that it might come alive in us once again. His life, his death, his resurrection, and his promise to return, wrapped up in the simplicity of a piece of bread and a drink of juice. But in that simplicity, may we know, understand, and embrace that we are included in this part of the story. And we too may receive and go on our way rejoicing because of Jesus.